Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. The Indian headdress is a very sacred object in Shoshone and Native American culture. But for a century or more, Native American headdresses have been used as sports mascots. Author Darren Perry is going to talk about why the Indian headdress shouldn't be used as a sports mascot, and we'll talk about why the Washington Redskins have changed their name to the Washington football team, why other teams are beginning to do that, and we're going to hit even some schools here in Utah and Idaho that use Indians as their mascot. So it's going to be a very interesting conversation. You won't want to miss it. Check out our conversation. All right, so one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, try to bring this up a little bit today, you mentioned the headdress, and I remember on the drive, you had mentioned how sacred that is. I know Bountiful High School last year, the Bountiful Braves had a big war dance, and they would, you know, dress up in with Indian. Can you talk about how that is offensive?
Yeah, so the war bonnet is a sacred thing. That the bald eagle feathers that are here, the bald eagle is the most sacred animal there is on the earth to the Shoshone people. We believe that the eagle soars so high in the sky that he speaks with the Great Spirit. And the Great Spirit tells the eagle what we need to do on the earth. So the eagle returns back down to earth and gives us the knowledge that we need from our Creator. And so that's why it's just held in such esteem. And only the chiefs are able to wear this, and the leadership is able to wear this. And the eagle feathers are actually learned. And I tell the elementary kids this story really quickly about when a young Shoshone boy or girl does an act of kindness or service as they're growing up, they would get one eagle feather from the chief. And then I'll ask one of the children, what would happen if that boy or girl kept doing nice things as they were growing up? And they say, well, they would get more eagle feathers. And I said, what if they kept doing those things until they were an adult? And this one little girl said, they would have so many eagle feathers. And I said, you're right. And I said, one day when the chief gets ready to die, he will call everyone together and he will say to them, show me your eagle feathers. And I tell them that the person with the most eagle feathers would become the next leader and the chief. And then I'd make this point that the chief isn't the bravest or the toughest. The chief is always the one in a tribal community that has led a life of service, that has done nice things for people their whole life. And so I tell them that's what a true leader is someone that works for the good of others. And they've done that throughout their whole life, and that's what they've demonstrated. So that eagle, these eagle feathers represent taking care of a group of people that have been marginalized, and a group of people that just have tried to live a life with their Creator and the earth in a loving way. And so this is a sacred thing to us. And so the fact that when you have a high school mascot and then they appropriate it in a way that, you know, they dress up like this, and it's just all about education. And we just went through this with Bountiful High School, and Bountiful announced that they're going to change their mascot. That's fine. We would have been okay if they hadn't changed the mascot too. As a tribal council, we talked about it because Bountiful High is in our indigenous area, and we were the ones they consulted with.
Oh, when they originally got the name? Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
In fact, we had one of our council members on the committee that studied the issue. But at the end of the day, it was the principal's decision based on all of the information he gathered. And so we told the principal, regardless of which way you go, this needs to be an opportunity that we can educate not only the kids, but the community. And wearing this sacred headdress, which is only worn in certain instances and in certain ceremonies, you just don't do that, you know, to rile up a group of fans. You don't understand it. And I said to somebody the other day, and I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but I said, it'd be like if you're, you know, the Bountiful Mormons, and then somebody wearing temple clothes out there at halftime to, you know, get the fans excited, because what the headdress is to a Native American is sacred, and it's as sacred as temple clothing is to a Mormon, a faithful Latter-day Saint. And so you need to understand the sacredness of that headdress. And if you did, you wouldn't wear it, and you wouldn't wear it the way you did. And there are only certain Native Americans that are actually even permitted to wear it. So the fact that you're dressing up and painting yourself and going out there and acting like a crazed man mad is not okay on any level. And so we just told the principal, we would love to come in and do certain trainings with the students and the staff and everybody else on just what's appropriate and what's not appropriate in Native American culture. We don't show every ceremony that we perform. There are some things that are so sacred that we don't show it. We don't video it, and we don't talk about it. But the headdress is certainly one of those instances. And so, but it comes down to being educated and making sure our kids understand. Because I absolutely believe there's not one student there that did it out of spite or did it out of, you know, a way to jab the Indians in the eye. They just didn't understand what they were doing. But now you understand, and now you understand the culture, then you probably, your decisions will be a little different. And so we're thrilled that they are willing to change the mascot. Look, if there was one student there, and there was one Native American girl, she was Navajo, that felt offended and felt, she really felt bad every time the Braves issue came about, and every time she'd watch an assembly, it was traumatic for her. If there's one student that is happening to, then you better probably take a look at what you're doing. And revisiting the mascot and changing the name is not a bad thing. And so it just comes down to learning the culture, learning that what you think is great and okay and fun may be offensive to another group. And so we just need to be sensitive to that.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the Washington Redskins are now the Washington football team. And I understand the Cleveland Indians have announced that they're going to change. And
I think the
Cleveland baseball team is probably what they're going to be this year.
Yeah.
We still got the Kansas City Chiefs, the Atlanta Braves. Can you comment on those?
You know, I I'm not one easily offended personally. But if other tribes are, then I certainly honor them and their the way they want to look at it. So my answer isn't necessarily, I'm not speaking for all Native Americans, because there are some groups that are really hurt by all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are, then they absolutely have a right to their opinion of what it should. But those other names, those other things will probably go the way of the Washington Redskins and Cleveland Indians, I think. Because I think we live in a world today that's so polarized, for good or bad. I'm not telling you what's right or wrong here. I'm just saying the world we live in today is pretty black and white when it comes to this stuff now.
I should also mention the University of Utah, Utes. They've got permission from
yes.
the Ute tribe, and I don't know how...
I think they have
Shoshone Ute connections.
I think they have a really good deal worked out monetarily wise with the Ute tribe. And I know, you know, the kids probably get educated there at a really good rate.
Yeah, because they have scholarships.
Yeah. So whatever deal they worked out is between them and the tribe that, you know, I have no problems with what the Utes have done. But yeah, you're right. It could be as easily offensive to anybody else as, you know, some of those other team names.
And I know the University of Utah has gotten rid of most Native American
imagery.
Yeah. And so, and they, you know, they've changed, they kind of have a hawk for a mascot now.
And they dedicate a program for a halftime at football games, because I've been there. They do a whole halftime program, and the Ute dancers come, and they try to share the culture. at some of the halftime events they do. So I think they've tried to make an effort into educating the student body. I know for a fact that incoming freshmen have to take a course in Ute history and Native American culture and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. So I think they're taking steps to try to get it right. But yeah, that's one of the examples that, you know, if you don't want your mascot erased, they point to that all the time. Well, they do it. And so, and the natives are okay with it. But I think, you know, you really need to consult the tribe in your area and like Bountiful did with us, and then make a decision going forward. There's a lot of schools, Preston Indians.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
You know, I had a school board member reach out the other day, and she just said, you know, the Shoshone Bannock tribe brought it up like, that's offensive. And it's in Idaho. I live in Utah.
Because it's the high school and the middle school.
Yeah, they both have that. Yeah. So stay tuned. that necessarily isn't offensive to me, but if it is to someone there, then maybe we ought to look at it. I mean, that's the course we're going down anyway. So I told her, well, be prepared because, you know, and really... it shouldn't divide a community that just, there's a lot of hate and a lot of anger that come out of this. And I'm going, really? It's a high school mascot, for heck's sake. I mean, yeah, but it's tradition. Well, if that's your answer, if that's the best thing you have on why to keep it, it's tradition, then we really need to change it then. Because tradition, what we've done and what colonial America has done, doesn't fly with which is culturally appropriate. And so, yeah, I love when people tell me, well, it's tradition. I'm going, okay. Well, so is Thanksgiving and so is some of the other things that we really need to re-examine. So, yeah.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Darren Perry, author of The Bear River Massacre. By the way, you should click this link and buy this book if you don't have it yet. In our next conversation, we're going to talk about the first general conference address that was spoken in a non-English tongue. It happened to be Darren's great-great-grandfather that gave his testimony in general conference.
One thing a lot of people don't know about Yeager, he was called out of the audience in the 1918 general conference. And... was asked to bear his testimony from the pulpit.
Wow.
In conference. And he went up there and he spoke Shoshone. And his bishop was the translator. And one thing he said in his testimony that I just think is funny, I've got a copy of this talk, in his testimony, but he said one thing. He said, the gospel has changed my life in a way that I no longer have a desire to kill the white man. I thought that was awesome.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, sign up at patreon.com/gospeltangents, and for $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview without any interruptions. If you'd like to see the whole video, that's just $8 a month, and you can sign up either at youtube.com/gospeltangents or on our website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button. Or you can go to patreon.com/gospeltangents. And I'll just need to make sure that we're Facebook friends, and I'll add you to our insiders group, and you can see the entire interview uncut. If you'd like to get PDF transcripts of our interviews, those are just $10 a month. And for just $15 a month, I will send you paperback versions of our transcripts as soon as they come out. Or, of course, you can buy them on Amazon as well. Go to Amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can see all of our transcripts there. Don't forget to sign up for our updates at Facebook.com/Gospel Tangents. Of course, you can follow us at Gospel Tangents on Twitter. To hear our interviews updated to your podcast player, go to tinyurl.com/Gospel Tangents and make sure you give us a 5-star review. And of course, you should show your support for Gospel Tangents with one of these cool t-shirts, like this green one, or light blue, sport gray, royal blue, purple, of course black, beautiful gold, and of course Utah red. I probably left out some colors, but if you want to see more, go to gospeltangents.com/shop and you can get one of these. So once again, thanks for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again.